Thanks for tuning in and for always supporting the continual improvement of aftermarket professionals. Carm Capriotto here, helping to broadcast aftermarket wisdom on the best-in-class podcast that you call friend. I can't wait for you to meet employee-turned-shop owner. Terica Buckner just became a shop owner in January 2020, and then you know what? The pandemic hit. Listen to her explain her remarkable journey to you from technician to owner in 23 years. You are aware by now that the Napa Expo has officially been rescheduled. February 1st through the 2nd, 2021 is the date. Las Vegas will be painted blue and gold as Team Napa puts on the fabulous event that was planned prior to COVID-19. Napa wants to thank everyone for understanding the event postponement, and they send well wishes to you and your families. Now, rest assured, Team Napa is as energized and invested as ever in Napa Expo, and we look forward to hosting you in February 2021. Hey, also keep in mind that at the end of this week, this Thursday and Friday, Napa will hold a virtual conference for you. I'll be on to moderate a panel and to present their prestigious awards for 2020. This episode has a flavor of succession planning. Even though Terica is not family, she helped the owners sell their business to her. A great story of having an internal candidate to sell to.
You know, if you're at a shop that you might want to consider buying, if that's going to be a good fit, talk to the owners about it. The more experience you gain from them, the better success you're going to have as a business owner. And maybe it's not something they ever thought of. And so maybe it might be a good fit, but to just start talking early.
In just a minute, Terica Buckner from Hawthorne Auto Clinic, Portland, Oregon, tells her incredible 23-year story to shop ownership. This is absolutely what dreams are made of. Hey, here's an industry first, and I'm excited about this. Apex announces the first Shop Owner, Technician, and Service Advisor of the Year Awards. They will be presented at Apex 2020. Nominate a deserving peer, or even yourself. Go to aapexshow.com/service awards. That's aapexshow.com/service awards for all the info. Nominating ends July 31st, 2020. Hey, did you know that along with my friend Tom Han, we've started a weekly aftermarket magazine show? It's called aftermarketweekly.com. Go to the website, watch the first 8 episodes, and watch it live right there. My guest, Terica Buckner, continues working very hard with passion as an owner now in the independent service aftermarket. She wants to help bring young people up through the ranks as she did. Hey, so glad you are coming to the trough of wisdom for the best aftermarket talk radio that strives to beat your expectations every week. Hey, find the key talking points for this interview with Terica Buckner at remarkableresults.biz/E551. A warm welcome to Terica Buckner from Hawthorne Auto Clinic in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Terica.
Hi.
Good to have you here, a female shop owner, and there's a story, there's a wonderful, wonderful story to tell about Terica's evolution as a shop owner, because she worked at the shop she now owns since she's been 17.
Yes, a long time. Been here for 23 years now, and I started the summer before my senior year of high school, started doing shop cleanup, helping the technicians, filing paperwork, all the odds and ends.
How long did it take, you know, into the tenure of working for Hawthorne for you to realize that maybe someday I could own this?
I had it in the back of my mind that maybe it was a possibility, but then again, it might be 10, 15 years. And I was like, am I really going to be in the industry for that long? It seemed kind of hard to believe or plan that far out. So it wasn't an immediate thought, you know, in the beginning.
So let's go down some of the jobs that you've had. Service advisor, shop helper, like you said, bookkeeper, the office staff, and all of that kind of sits up overhead. You just love fixing things.
Yes, I've always liked fixing cars. I was in my automotive program in high school. I started that when I was 15, and I just always loved cars. I wanted to get my license immediately, and going through the automotive program, I learned a lot about cars. And as soon as I turned 16, I got my license, and I had an old Volkswagen Scoreback, which broke down all the time. So I had all kinds of experience at working on cars. But I just love the feel of taking something that was broken, not starting, you fix something, and then boom, it starts working again.
And then all of a sudden it works. So you did go through automotive technology. You went, did you go to post-secondary automotive tech college?
Yeah, after high school, I went to Mount Hood Community College and got my associate's degree in applied science for automotive. They had a two-year program where Hawthorne Auto Clinic sponsored me through that program because you do one term at school, and then the next term, you're actually working hands-on in the shop and learning that way.
You were in an apprentice program then?
Yeah.
Did Hawthorne pay for your education or just paid you for the apprentice piece of it?
I actually got a scholarship for the Mount Hood Community College. We entered the AAA troubleshooting competition in high school, and me and my partner came in second, and it was a Ford competition, and Ford actually offered us a scholarship for the Ford program at Mount Hood Community College. But in order to be at an independent repair shop and not working at a dealership, you had to be in the import program. And so when the import program heard I had a scholarship, they worked on getting me a scholarship also to be in their program.
Okay, so it is time, Terica, to stop a moment and challenge the independent shop owners out there to the story that you just told. I got help. I apprenticed. I got a scholarship. Here is a wonderful story about any post-secondary program that worked for you. And it really works for a lot of other people. And here's the fruit of all of that effort.
Yeah, it was a really good program. The previous owners were very supportive in helping me with that program. I mean, when I first started here, I didn't know anything about cars. And working at the shop and going through the program really helped solidify my skills in automotive and in customer service when I started being a service advisor.
All your great skills, all your great training, and then COVID hits.
Right. Yes.
Wow. And I think what's important is that our listener has to understand how long it's been since you've owned the business.
This is going on our 6th month.
Been there 27 years. And 6 months ago, you bought the business. So there's a storyline here, no doubt. The owners who you obviously must have gotten close with over 27 years, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, your work family kind of just grew up through high school and adulthood with the same people. And when COVID hit, they showed a lot of support and were trying to help. They felt really bad that I took over just in time for dealing with this new unprecedented issues that the shop would have to deal with.
Your survivorship will be dependent on all the support that you get, all the training that you had, and any help that you're reaching out to get yourself. Very, very impressed about that. But before we get into, you know, COVID and how you're getting through it, let's talk about how the transaction happened. And I think there's so many people in your position in the industry that have worked at a shop a long time. Owners are really ready to retire. They have near discussed any succession plan because that's a bad thing. You're not supposed to talk about that stuff. And one day somebody's going to walk in and, you know, give me $1 million for my business. And, you know, I see you smiling about that. And so you basically approached the owner. Give us a little backstory on how you pulled off the transaction.
The current owners had pretty much announced that they were going to be looking at retiring in the next 5 years, and they were going to explore their options for retirement. And so I took that opportunity to write a letter of intent to them describing, you know, my interest in buying the shop and why I thought I would be a good fit to be the new owner. And they accepted the letter and, you know, said they would review it, discuss it, look at their options. But it was a definite possibility.
They got back to you and said, hey, this is very interesting. We would love to talk further.
Yeah, they took some time in looking at their options. But ultimately, when they decided that that would be the best fit for them as well as me, then, yeah, we proceeded to move forward with discussions and trying to figure out what to do next. So we actually ended up hiring a third-party consultant that usually brokers those type of deals. But because it was an employee and I've been here for so long and the owners, we just had a few consulting sessions where they kind of set us up for the different steps we'd have to go through during the transition, and kind of counseled us as the sellers and them as the buyers for different options. And then we just proceeded from there.
What did you do to convince them in this letter of intent that you were going to take care of their business?
Well, because I'd been there for so long and I've pretty much worn all the different hats in the business. I knew it inside and out and built a good relationship with the employees. That was very important to them, was to make sure that the employees were taken care of, their customers were taken care of, and I feel like I showed that by working all those years and helping them build their business, essentially.
Taking care of their customers, I bet you that was high on the list.
Yes, yes. The customers are very important. They're usually, you know, just in our community. We've always been, you know, really honest shop, really, you know, cater towards the individual customer, what their needs are, what they're trying to accomplish with their vehicle, and help them through repairs as needed.
Hey, it's Carm here to tell you about the best shop management solution for your auto care center, Trax Enterprise. Now, since NAPA introduced Trax in 1989, it's been the industry's leading shop management system out there. Today, Trax Enterprise offers even more of the features auto care center owners want. Things like a powerful interactive scheduling calendar, faster and streamlined workflow, multi-shop capabilities, easy pay consumer financing integration, and more. That means you can count on Trax Enterprise to help drive your success today and well into the future. The tabbed interface lets you open and view multiple estimates, ROs, invoices, and purchase orders all at the same time. You can even place windows side by side, over or under, or drag a tab from another application outside Trax to open another window. One auto care center owner said he loves being able to have 10 to 12 work orders open at once. Enterprise also offers a Microsoft Outlook type calendar so you can view daily, weekly, and monthly schedules, drag and drop appointments between days and times, and block time to indicate length of work. Punch out to Mitchell Pro Demand is another huge benefit. It provides embedded labor, part, maintenance, and fluid capacities that can be transferred to estimates and repair orders within Trax. Trax Enterprise also streamlines parts ordering. Just one click and it's done. The mobile capture app sold another auto care owner on Trax Enterprise. He said there's no reason to write VINs by hand anymore. You can decode the VIN from a mobile device and send all the information directly to Trax. There are reporting features too. For example, with just a couple of clicks, you can find out how many repair orders you've written in a month. Talk to your Napa Auto Parts store and find out more about what Trax Enterprise can do for you, plus the hundreds of other great things the auto care program has to offer. Well, I'm just so happy for you. Some great youth entering our industry and the legacy that you bring with you, having been at that shop for so long and done every job, gives you one hell of an advantage, don't you think?
I think so, because I've been here. We've done different marketing approaches. I see how, you know, we take care of our employees, and that's really key in this industry. A lot of places can have high turnover, and, you know, they don't. A lot of shops don't take care of the employees. They kind of work them to death, flat rate them. And I think you have to really cater to the individual employee, help them with their personal goals, help build them up to their highest potential.
What's the turnover been like for you in people?
At our shop, it's very low. Usually we only have turnover if somebody's moving for some reason. But once people stay here, they like it here.
Was the staff happy for you?
Yes, the staff was very happy. A lot of them have been here for several years. You know, they always kind of looked to me for leadership in the shop to begin with. And then when they heard I was going to take over and I had some new ideas with updating different processes, they were excited to be a part of that.
Good for you. So COVID hit. Anything happened to your numbers? And I'd love to find out, as a very young business owner with an established business, though, and any reduction of sales volume right out of the chute that you could say, oh, look, at we were down 20% or something?
The first week that our town shut down, sales dropped immensely, you know, 50%, 60% the first week. At that point, it was a little panicky, like, oh, no, is it going to be like this for the next 2 months? What do we need to do? How do we survive? And so we kind of took the necessary steps to put a lot of our staff on furlough right away to help minimize the cost. And, you know, with the extra $600 a week and unemployment, you know, they would be pretty well taken care of. So we held on to, you know, two of our top technicians who could handle a lot of work. Basically, each week after that, it just got better and better. And so it really stems from our customer base and having good relations with our customers, that some people were really trying to bring us cars and help support us through this time. And so just each week got better and better. And so those numbers went up. And now we're probably only down maybe 5, 10% now.
Year to date?
No, just since COVID hit.
Did you change any message in your marketing at all?
Not too much, because, I mean, the stay-at-home order was, you know, to stay at home. So we felt it would be irresponsible to encourage people to come out. We didn't start a campaign to encourage people to bring their cars in. Instead, we sent out some email blasts, you know, telling people how we were handling the situation, you know, by sanitizing what our processes were. And then we sent out another email blast about, you know, people are working from home. They're not driving their cars as much. We've been seeing a high increase of, now my battery's dead. And so we sent tips out about still going on a drive, keeping your battery charged up, how to avoid some of the problems that we were seeing. And we got a lot of good responses from that. So we were keeping in touch, but we weren't directly trying to get people to come in, and we weren't blasting them with emails all the time.
They knew you were open, basically.
They knew we were open.
And they could count on you, that you were doing a lot of things right. You were protecting your people. And if they did have to come in for an emergency, did you do anything community-wise to talk about first responders, or, you know, try to help out senior homes, food delivery?
Not directly, because at that time we were limited on staff and we didn't have the resources to do some of that. We were doing house calls where people's batteries wouldn't start. We'd go and jump start it, get the car in, charge it up, test it out, see if there was any issue. And we do all that at no charge. So that's kind of how we were helping the community, by making that process a little easier.
You have an all-female staff. What's the percentage of the females that you have working in the business? Since you, I believe, once told me that there was an all-female office staff one day and counter, where do you stand?
We have an all-female office staff, and we have one female technician, and then we have four male technicians. So right now we're about 50-50 ratio.
Four males, one female. Is the female new, an apprentice, been there a while?
So the technician just graduated from the Mount Hood Community College program that I had gone through.
Great. I love it. You're hanging in there with your alumni college, huh?
Yes. And the previous owners actually paid for her schooling through that program. They had learned that it was kind of good to grow your own technician. And then in the office, we have one service advisor who's been in the industry for 20 years, used to be a technician. And then we have another service advisor who's new to the industry, just started in October of this year. We hired her in preparation for the transition and have been training her on automotive. So she's been learning a lot.
How's she doing?
She's doing really well. She learns quickly and is curious about how cars work and retains information well. So for not having any automotive background, I think she's doing really well.
She has you to look up to.
Yes, and and the other service advisor and the other technicians are all really great at teaching her when new problems come up or new systems and she's not sure how they work.
Will you ever go out and get her any sales training, service advisor training specifically?
Yes, it's been kind of the plan, although now with COVID, I don't know how that's going to affect things, although she has been doing a little bit of Zoom trainings. But yeah, we were originally planning to send her to service advisor school, one of those weekend trips that specializes in service advising.
What are you doing for technician training? Do you have any disciplines that say so many hours? Are you tracking the kind of training your technician teams are getting?
Well, our technicians were required to have 40 hours of training a year. So sometimes that can be difficult to get quality training, but there's a lot of online access available now, especially after COVID. A lot of training is free right now, too.
How are you monitoring it?
We sign up the technicians as they want to go through the different trainings. We see what the topics are and sign them up, and then they go and then they come back and report about what they learned and how good the class was, the instructor.
All right. So you got some accountability built in there. That's good. What kind of advice would you give to I want you to talk all to the ladies in my audience, in our audience, talk to the ladies in the industry of the opportunity that many of them could have to get into a position of ownership like you have right now.
One of the main things that I learned is you just learn as much as you can about the business. I started as the shop helper, and then I started as technician, and then service advisor, and then bookkeeper, and you just learn all the areas of the business, and then it sets you up for going in any direction that you want to go in.
So I'm a female technician, and I really do have my mind on ownership someday. What would you tell me as a technician, female technician?
I would say, if you're at a shop that you might want to consider buying, if that's going to be a good fit, talk to the owners about it. The more experience you gain from them, the better success you're going to have as a business owner. And maybe it's not something they've ever thought of. And so maybe it might be a good fit, but to just start talking early.
You nailed it. They wouldn't have any clue that you had this idea. And a lot of times people have the dreams, but they never share those dreams or ideas or passions or insights that they have. That's tremendous, tremendous advice. And I hope people heed that. And if you heard this for the first time and you have a friend who's shared with you that they'd always love to be an owner and they'd love to own the shop that they work for, share this episode with them and listen to what Tarika has said here. Really good stuff. Would you come back and maybe be on some female panels with me and, share some of your insights?
I'd love to.
I'd love it. I'm so happy. I'm proud of you as a young woman who has an opportunity, just bought the business in January and then COVID hit. I so hope that the rest of this year is going to be an incredible success for you. Tarika Buckner from Hawthorne Auto Clinic in Portland, Oregon. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.